Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 16th chapter of Luke's gospel. This is the lectionary reading for this, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. I'm reading the first 8 verses of that chapter. And as I read these words, listen for something new that's being spoken into your life, into your heart at this particular point on your faith journey. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager. And charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him, and he said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do. So when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Quickly, take your bill out, sit down, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Hey, take your bill, make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light." Friends, this is a word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. Visualize this. Think through this. Are the lines sloped or are they horizontal? Are they parallel to one another or do they slope into each other? Is it a duck or is it a rabbit? All right. Do the lines converge as you move to the top of the page or do they remain parallel? Is the dress gold and white, or is it blue and black? Optical illusions, you have seen them. Illusions because they confuse us. We're not sure what to make of them or how to analyze them or to assess them. I'm not sure in the picture if it is a woman wearing a hat or is it a man playing the guitar. Have you seen? That should be obvious. Right? But it's not. You have seen optical illusion after optical illusion across your life, and you've been tricked by them, you've been dazzled by them, you've been entertained by them. I love them. I love to think through these, how they're working, what I am seeing, but what is really going on. It's a good life lesson, I think. It's a good life lesson. The life lesson is this: there is always more to something than meets the eye. All right, friends, the optical illusion thing came to my mind as I wrestled with our gospel passage for today. It's one of those passages where first impressions can be misleading. You know, it's one of those passages where what you see is not necessarily what you get. You need to go deeper in order to find the meaning. Now, of course, this should not surprise us. Time and time again, we're reading through Scripture. We got to think about it a little bit. Oh, that's what's going on. And never is this more the case when you read the teachings of Jesus. The parables are a great example. You know, there's a story about a man who had 2 sons. One of them was a delinquent, runs out, comes back, a naive father welcomes him home. There's got to be more to it than that. Come on, folks. There's a wedding banquet, and there's a guy who just doesn't dress appropriately for the wedding. They bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's going on? There's got to be more to it than that. So anyway, we have to wrestle with things. We have to wrestle with meaning. Go deeper. So what's going on with the story today? What is going on in this story today? It's called the parable of the unjust steward. And that's being kind. The other name for it is the parable of the dishonest manager. The story is pretty straightforward, at least up to the point where I stopped. A wealthy landowner, a wealthy person, gets tipped off that his manager or the person who works for him is squandering his property. He calls the, the man into the office. He confronts him with the evidence and fires him. All right, good enough. The manager panics because he knows that he's too frail to do manual labor, and that's all that will be left to him if he loses this job. So suddenly he gets the idea. I know what I'll do. Before the debtors come or find out about this situation, I will cut them a deal. So they will love me. I'll be endeared to them. And in the days ahead, when I am destitute, they will welcome me in and take care of me. So tell me, how much do you owe? 100? Make it 50. 100? Make it 80. Whatever it is. I will befriend you. Well, it's an act of a desperate man. The act of a desperate man, it's a scheme. It's a scheme to avoid hard work. It's dishonest. Well, he goes through with it. And somehow, his former boss finds out about this. But instead of, like, reprimanding him, he's commended. And he gets, not only do we think he gets his job back, he probably gets a promotion. He gets a raise for his dishonest behavior. That's weird enough in itself. But what's hard to understand is that Jesus tells this story. Not only tells it, he makes this comment. He says, and his master commended the dishonest man because he acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. First of all, it seems odd, again, that Jesus would tell this parable. Secondly, to tell it and then kind of intimate that the story is an example that the faithful should emulate. That's confusing. What's going on? It appears that Jesus is telling his disciples that they must do whatever it takes to succeed in this world. They must be shrewder than the shrewd. And I said, that is hard to say. Shrewder. Let's say it again. No. Shrewder than the shrewd. They must be more dishonest. They must be more deceitful, more cunning than their contemporaries. You know, I had a lot of coaches as a kid growing up, and there was always, you know, the line that every coach always used. You know, those folks out there, they want it, and they want it bad. They're going to do whatever it takes to defeat us today. So we're going to go out there, and we're going to do it to them. We're going to do whatever it takes to top them. They want it, but we got to do better. We got to go out there and get them. Is that what Jesus is saying? You 12 maniacs, you get out there, and you teach them a lesson. Get the job done at all cost. Now, I bet many of us, maybe most of us in this room, do not remember ever reading this parable. And for a good reason. For a good reason. This text has troubled Christians for 2,000 years. In fact, in the 4th century, the Roman Emperor Julian, also fondly known as the Apostate, said that this was evidence that Christianity was a religion of scoundrels. Watch out for them. Watch out for them. But, as we know from our friends who produce optical illusions, first impressions can be very deceiving. Julian got it wrong. Many folks across the centuries have gotten it wrong. They've gotten it wrong because they've allowed themselves to get distracted by the details, missing the big picture. Like, you know, allow a magician to go, look over here, wherever, and then doing something over here while your attention is diverted. You miss the whole thing and you're left dumbfounded. The point of the parable, the dishonest manager, is not that the followers of Jesus, here called children of light, should outdo their contemporaries in manipulating the system so that they benefit at the expense of others. That's not it. That's not what it's about at all. No, what it's about is zeal. What it's about is passion. What it's about is drive. The dishonest manager finds himself in a incredibly precarious position. His life is threatened. You know, he will be forgotten. He will be ostracized. For all intents and purposes, he will cease to exist. If he remains passive, he will die. While refusing to give up, he acts. He acts in the moment, and in doing so, he receives praise from his master. And it's not the details of his acts that are praised. No, it's his discernment and his tenacity. Chris is right over there. Hold on, Chris. Oh, you got the prop. Good. All right. Do you drink coffee? Raise your hand if you drink coffee. Good. You are the select few. Coffee is a gift from God. black, strong coffee. But it must be hot, steaming hot. Now, Chris drinks what we call iced coffee. That doesn't count as coffee, but we're not going to go there today. I just thank you for that. Chris, no. There are some people who intentionally drink iced coffee. Now, there are, again, legitimacy we won't go to. But there are some people who are just okay with tepid coffee. Oh, yes, see. I knew it. Okay, at the early service, we had two. At the middle service, we had two. And we have one here that will admit it, that they drink tepid coffee and enjoy it. Okay. Now, what I'm going to say, no offense on those to those folks, but that doesn't count. That is not right. Tepid coffee is not. Nothing is good that is tepid. Come on, folks. So think about it. What is good that's tepid? How about tepid faith? How about that? Tepid faith. That's good stuff. Sound good? Sure it does. Okay. It wasn't very appealing to John of Patmos either, the author who penned what we call the Book of Revelation. Oh, Bible study plug. Okay. This Thursday, you've been warned multiple times. This Thursday is your last chance. This Thursday, we spent 2 weeks giving an overview of the Bible and thinking deeply about a lot of questions those texts raise. This week, we are going to get into the Book of Revelation, and it's not too late to join, virtually or in person. Okay, end of commercial. The author of Book of Revelation writes these words. Bill read them a few minutes ago. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, tepid, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Exactly. Exactly. That's the way I feel about coffee. Anyway, friends, the first day of fall, I looked it up, because it varies just a little bit, is this Thursday, about 9 o'clock in the evening. This Thursday. It's felt like fall this whole past week. That was wonderful, but no. It starts this week. We stand on the cusp of a new season. A new season in so many ways. It operates on multiple levels. And as I hear these words about tepidness, they haunt me. You know, coming out of the chaos of these past few years, I look at my life, and I look at much of the culture, and what I see around me could be characterized as tepidness. Tepidness. Maybe it's a tepidness brought on by fatigue. Maybe that's what it is. We're just tired. We're tired of everything. We just feel blah. All I want to do is just do nothing, just sit there and, you know, do nothing. Or maybe it's a tepidness born out of the status quo. You know, we've gotten out of practice, you know, with respect to so many aspects of our lives. You know, where it's hard to get back to those pre-pandemic days. So we're going with the flow. Okay. Well, either way, what seems to be missing is the zeal, is the passion, is the drive. What seems to be lacking is intentionality, the tenacity like we saw in the manager. Traditionally, the fall is a season of contemplation. The leaves change colors. People just want to think. They want to think through things. They want to think through the big questions. They want to think through life. So, here, in this place, in a community called Pleasant Grove, we believe that the body of Christ is a place in which to explore these big ideas, to explore depth of meaning. So, friends, it is time to seize the day. You know, both here, but throughout the venues of your life. So, get connected to whatever it is, or get reconnected. And we hope that you'll come do life with us. You know, don't be tepid. Be bold. Be passionate. Be zealous for life. And one last thing. Is a pulpit on the left side of the sanctuary? Or has it always been on the right side? Yeah. Think about it. Thanks be to God. Amen.